Hour number two on this Friday morning, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. You just made the list coming up at noon. Get your thinking cap on. Who or what has made you mad this week? Best one, Justin Timberlake tickets on the line. Wednesday, May 9th, Bridgestone Arena. Hello. It's a pretty good prize. Hot ticket. I know my wife would like those tickets, that's for sure. Right now we head east. We head to Knoxville. Patrick Brown, GoVols 24/7 is on the line with us. Patrick, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and like you guys, my wife would be interested in seeing Justin Timberlake as well. So if I can get in on the tickets,
yeah.
We've actually already seen him once in Nashville a couple years ago.
Really?
But he puts on a good show. Yeah.
I've never seen him. Never seen
you
him.
Should. It's really he's really good. He's really talented.
Yeah, I think we're all jealous as men. We're all jealous of Justin Timberlake, right? It's like, come on, man. Can't it be something you're bad at? Really? You have to have everything? Really? Jeez. So anyway, we'll do that coming up at noon. So, Patrick, what are you guys talking about in Knoxville? There's nothing really going on, kind of off-season. Now that the basketball teams are done, there's really not any news. Oh, wait a minute. There's actually tons of news. What about this crazy John Curry story? Well, let's just start there. What's your takeaway from what we've learned? We now know that they're going to pay him $2.5 million, and Chancellor Beverly Davenport did the, and we wish John and his family well in his future endeavors. We are grateful for his contributions, blah, blah, blah. But what's your takeaway from the latest round?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, and to be fair, I think it's probably a little unfortunate that this is going on the first week of spring practice for Jeremy Pruitt.
Yep.
Obviously.
Good point.
From a media standpoint, we're all focused on this right now instead of maybe what a lot of fans maybe want to know is about practice. But, yeah, you know, last night, I guess it was actually down in Memphis at a Board of Trustees meeting where one of the university's general counsel, he announced to that meeting that they had reached a settlement with Curry, $2.5 million, all those details. He had been on sort of paid leave, suspended, still getting his salary. Since December when he was sort of unceremoniously dumped out of his position by Beverly Davenport and bid the meandering coaching search that took so many twists and turns and was all over the place and all that. But if you're Tennessee, I mean, you were looking at potentially having to pay him a $5.5 million buyout when you made the move. So it looks like they're going to be saving some money there. And Tennessee made that move thinking it could fire him for cause. Obviously, a lot of fans would say what he did with the coaching search was enough cause, but in terms of a legal sense, that's probably not the case. So once that sort of happened, it always was sort of going to end with a settlement. Well, it really got interesting. Excuse me. A couple hours later, when Tennessee sends out, I guess in response to multiple or Freedom of Information Act requests from multiple media outlets, sends out just a 2,000 pages at least of correspondence, emails, text messages, social media messages between Curry, Chancellor Davenport, President Joe DiPietro, and various other people that were all in contact with each other during the coaching search and during this particular week. So all that gets dumped out, and then as we and other outlets across the state are sort of pouring through it, we come across these things that are interesting, you know, Paul Johnson having his agent reach out to Curry, the Georgia Tech head coach, Philip Fulmer expressing, you know, if Tennessee asked me to coach, I'd do it. Those are small things compared to some of the stuff. And of course,
all great nuggets, you know, your eyebrows just raise every time. Ooh, wow. You read that, you go, hey, that's interesting. You know, that's tremendous entertainment.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously, as you mentioned, the Curry sort of the final hours where, he went from being in Dallas interviewing Mike Gundy, flew straight to Raleigh to interview Dave Doran, and then was setting up another meeting with Mike Leach when he was sort of went MIA for about 6 hours, and then blamed it on poor Wi-Fi on a Delta flight, which he may not have even been on. He may have been on a private booster plane for a friend of his. So. Yeah, he just went MIA for.
But he is a pirate, though. I mean, pirates do things like this, right?
Yeah, and you know, you see messages like Mike Gundy saying, "Hey, let's shake loose in Dallas," and Lisa saying, hey, I wish we could have the first of many beers together, all this stuff. You know, it's all funny to see, you know, it's amusing and sort of entertaining to see how all this comes out. But, yeah, I mean, it sort of gave it, you know, it sort of confirmed what a lot of had been reported at the time. And it sort of also confirms that some things that were reported were completely not on, that weren't on the mark. So, yeah, I mean, the Curry stuff, yeah, it's interesting to see that he was gone. You know, they didn't know where he was for 6 hours. He's getting texts about, like, hey, where are you? Are you okay? And he had to text back, like, I'm safe, I'm alive. Sort of underlines just and further shows just how crazy this coaching search and that whole fiasco was a few months ago.
Patrick, we're wide open this hour. If you just want to start reading these text messages, we'll just sit back and enjoy. This is fascinating.
Well, we've got about seven, I think his last count was seven things up right now on GoBalls 24/7 of the best of the Nuggets so far.
The greatest hits.
John Curry saying Tennessee fans are wackos for reporter. I mean, it's just, you know, the supposed vetting of Greg Schiano and all that. You know, and there's Curry's first phone log, he had to get a new one because I guess his number got out that they – the Schiano stuff went down, and he just got inundated with it was probably like 25, 30 text messages a minute in some cases of I guess, Tennessee fans just texting him and blowing up his phone, and it's just sort of a little bit ridiculous, honestly, to think that that's what happened, but that's what happened. I mean, that's just it was just wild.
Patrick, could they have fought getting this stuff out there? That's what's fascinating to me. I was telling Willie during the break, I was like, the fact that we can sit there and look at these text exchanges is amazing. Could they fight this, or did they want this out there? How did this happen where we can look at all this?
Well, it's interesting you ask that because they dumped it all at once, and they dumped it pretty extensively. And obviously I think they had to wait till they had reached a settlement in terms of what was going to go on with his position being suspended and all that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know who all Tennessee originally sent it to, but I would say a lot of people that have posted stuff on it, especially on Twitter and whatnot, probably didn't get the original email and somehow got it otherwise or got a link to where all this stuff is and all that. So doesn't seem like they've, you know, I don't want to say they started a wildfire, but they sort of did, and I don't know if they meant for it to get as big as it has, but with so much attention on Twitter. But, yeah, I mean, this stuff is public record. And, you know, it's why, you know, so we saw some of the same stuff at Ole Miss with Hugh Freeze, some of his phone records that media were going through. And, you know, that stuff is public information. If it's done on a state-funded and state-provided phone, which, again, is another reminder that if you're a coach and administrator, you probably need to have at least one burner phone. So all this stuff can't get, you know, requested and looked at. So yeah, I mean, this stuff is it's public record. It's susceptible to what we call FOIA requests, where you can email people at Tennessee and other places. And I know you guys are in Nashville, so Vanderbilt's a private university, so all of this stuff would not be. They wouldn't have to release this stuff. They don't have to release salary information or anything like that. Contracts for coaches and whatnot. So, but yeah, if you're working for a public university and your university email account, your university funded phone, that's all that stuff is, it's susceptible to stuff like this. So if you're going to be working in the gray area, I'll put it that way, probably best not to do it on the company phone.
Speaking of Vanderbilt, Dan Wolken, who graduated from there, now with USA Today, pretty interesting, his exchange with John Curry, or at least John Curry reaching out to him, basically trying to get him to, hey, man, I need help on the Schiano stuff. This is where I guess the word wacko came out in that exchange.
Yeah, I don't know Dan, so I don't want to really speak too much on him. So that was obviously an exchange that's gotten a lot of information, and it was, you know, at the time it was kind of odd to see such the stark contrast between some of what was being written from national media types about Schiano sort of, you know, defending Tennessee's hire of it when so many people were vehemently against it. And obviously, you know, over time it's gotten sort of misconstrued that, you know, that the fans torpedoed this move, but there were just as many people that were sort of revolting behind the scenes in the athletic department and in the administration that didn't want this to happen, that probably played, probably played a bigger role in sort of the move being ultimately falling through. But yeah, I mean, before Curry, I think even, and this is something that we reported back in November, was when Curry sort of kicked the tires in his department about Schiano, he got a lot of negative feedback, almost entirely negative, and still went and tried to make it happen anyway. And there were some parts of that that were unfortunate and, you know, really wasn't fair to Schiano in some way because, I mean, he's just trying to advance his career. He's just trying to get a new job, and he got sort of raked over the coals and dragged across the mud publicly. But again, that's something that Curry and some other people at Tennessee should have realized that was going to happen. So, but yeah, that was another one of the more juicy things, just to see the interaction between an AD and a reporter. I know a lot of people maybe get caught up and wonder how that goes down. Well, it's not always like that, but in this situation, I guess it was.
Patrick Brown, we're speaking with Go Vols 24/7. Lots of good stuff on this story if you go to their website. And Patrick, let's take the Schiano part of this a little further. Kirk Herbstreit was on a radio show, and he was on the record saying that, hey, he endorsed Greg Schiano, and I mean, of course, this is hearsay, but he said, hey, Peyton Manning was on board. He wanted Greg Schiano. He was fine with that. He was part of the process that got them to the conclusion that Schiano would be the right guy. Is there anything in the public records that have come out on Curry that would suggest that is accurate?
I've not read that part, honestly. I haven't had a chance to really read some of the stuff that some of my colleagues at our site have written. I know Grant Ramey and Wes Rucker both posted stuff as well. I think Grant had the story on the Schiano vetting and all that. But yeah, I mean, you see who is all sort of involved in the search, and Peyton talked to Dan Mullen too, I think, right the day after the Egg Bowl. And it seemed like Tennessee was looking to go there at one point before Mullen ended up going to Florida. So, I think it was sort of known at the time that Peyton was on board with it, despite some of the you know, you read some of the stories back on that particular Sunday about Schiano when he was with the Bucks, trying to get his players to, I don't want to say injure Manning, but when he was doing the kneel down to, you know,
right,
cause a ruckus there and all that. So, I don't know about that. I haven't gone through all these records, and there's so many of them that I even think us as a four-man staff haven't gotten through every single one of them yet.
So. We're just getting started on this. But Patrick, it just, if I go back, if I'm John Curry and I'm going back through it, to me, if I could get out early that, hey, I've been talking with Peyton Manning and he's helped me with this process and we think Greg Schiano is the right guy, that, I wonder how that would have swayed, if at all, the masses that were, you know, so violently against it. We know what happened, right? But if he had played his cards differently and got out there that, hey, I got Peyton Manning, I got Kirk Herbstreit, I got all these guys who are credible people, and they like Schiano, would that have changed the perception at all?
It might have. I think sometimes in searches it happens where you sort of float a name out there, so you leak a name to sort of gauge the reaction, and it didn't seem like Tennessee did that really until that Sunday. I think they probably didn't want a bunch of names getting floated out there before their final game against Vanderbilt, so maybe that was – I know Curry was publicly said that he didn't want to do that because he didn't think it would be fair to the team and the staff that was still trying to finish out the season. So, you know, they sort of floated it out there. If I'm remembering, that day feels like it was 10 years ago at this point. That, you know, it was first reported that Schiano might be the guy pretty early in the afternoon, and it was said that Curry was going to fly up to Columbus and close the deal down and around, I think, 7 that night. So maybe that was sort of an expedited process of that, trying to float the name out there, see the reaction, and go from there. Well, we saw the reaction. It was more, I guess, widespread than I think we've probably ever seen in any sort of search or hire situation before. And that, you know, got torpedoed, and that's something that I'm sure other ADs and searches are, you know, I don't know if they'll keep it in mind, but they'll probably go into searches saying, as long as we don't do this, then I think it's fine. And one thing that jumps out to me while going through all this stuff is that if you're a Tennessee fan at this point, you came out of this with Jeremy Pruitt as your head coach and Philip Fulmer as your athletic director. I think you got to be pretty thankful for that right now, because that situation, the situation that Tennessee is in right now, looks a lot better than what it might have been, given everything that was sort of reported at the time, and
sure.
That's even sort of coming to light here in the last 12 to 18 hours or so.
Yeah, long term, everything will work out if this regime is successful, as is always the case. So let's look back. So as the fallout happens, $2.2 million to Curry. Is that more or less than maybe they thought they would have to settle with?
I'm not sure. I think it's probably a good number in the middle. Certainly, I don't know if Curry, I don't think he thought that he did anything to warrant being fired and not getting any buyout. And certainly Tennessee thought that you know, they made the move thinking they could make it for cause. And 2.2, 2.5 sounds like a pretty good meet in the middle kind of compromise. And now both parties can go their separate ways.
And Schiano, I guess it's accepted that he signed the memorandum of understanding with Curry, right? But a couple people did not sign the document. So to your knowledge, is it done there, or do you think there is still now a settlement or some sort of discussion to hash out what happened with Schiano?
Only I think if Schiano wants to pursue it, if he hasn't already, he may not. And his only public comments on the situation, I think, came before Ohio State's bowl game, when he said that he would, more or less that he would address it when the time was right. The memorandum of understanding was signed by Curry and by Schiano, but it was not signed by Chancellor Davenport and by the university's CFO, which Tennessee views as, without those two signatures, it's not legally binding. Now, had those signatures been done, then the deal falls through, then Tennessee would have a hard case to argue getting out of what it would have owed the full buyout for Schiano, which would have been $20-plus million. So if Schiano wants to pursue that, then he can. I don't know what benefit it would be for him. He probably, I would think that he probably wants to just move on and not think about this situation. And from Tennessee's standpoint, I believe they think the matter is close because those signatures were lacking from the MOU.
Mm. Patrick, if we could give you the Justin Timberlake tickets, we would. Good stuff. Really appreciate it.
Oh, well, you guys have plenty of listeners that probably want those more than me.
Well, you can at least take your wife and, get some points that way. But thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Go read his work on GoVols 24/7. It's good. Patrick Brown. And, man, it just there's things we didn't even touch on yet.
Lots of strands.
Joan Cronin, remember her? We dealt with her over the years, that she texted John Curry and said, hey, Les Miles has reached out to me and just want to let you know he's interested. And that there's an exchange between her and John Curry where she said she told Les Miles that she's a fan of John Curry and trusted his judgment. And it just goes on and on. It's just crazy. How many pages of documents did he say that they've released?
Did I hear 5,000?
Did he say thousands?
Yeah.
Interesting. Good stuff. All right, we will come back with more.
I'd love to. Just think about, though, you leave a job, you've got a phone.
And everything is out released?
There. Just stop for a moment to think, what would people find if that happened to so-and-so?
Boy.
Can you imagine?
No. If everybody out there listening, just think if phone
what
records
if that had happened
were released,
to blank
in your office place. What if their phone records were released? What would we find? Man, oh man. All right, we'll come back with more next on 102.5 The Game.